So welcome. You are listening to Fit as a Fiddle. This is our podcast with Rita Brewer and myself, and we meet the fourth Monday of every month at 6 o'clock in the evening. So join in. We're on several different podcast platforms out there. So you can find us anywhere that you can find freestyle living podcast, you will find us. And so tonight we are actually getting to talk to Teresa. Teresa is a speaker and a freedom seeker who has a powerful message to share with the world. Now, after unexpected transformational experiences like cancer and, yes, years of abuse, she is on a mission to encourage and inspire women through her journey, and she is here to support and empower others by helping them to discover their inner power. So welcome, Teresa. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it. It's nice to be here.
Yes. Now, I met Teresa for the first time on Clubhouse. That is a new social app. And I met Teresa over there. That's, of course, where I met Rita as well. I've known Nancy for a while. So, Nancy, it's so good to see you. Nancy and I, we go back a few years already. So it's so good that we're all here this evening. And Teresa, I want to start off because I know that Nancy and Rita, really, they don't know your backstory. So I'd like to start off and ask you to give us a little bit of an update by telling us your backstory.
Okay. Well, it started at the age of two. I have 20 plus years of experience with abuse. My first time was when I was two. And then from five to 13, so 8 years with my stepfather. And then I had a 5-year break. And then I met the father of my children when I was 18. And I was with him for 15 years. So until I was 33, and had a lot of anger issues from the beginning to the end. I tried to commit suicide when I was 10. I just wanted to just die. I had two children, one at 19 and one at 20. Now they're 27 and 26, but they're doing good. But it was a real struggle to stay positive, stay afloat. And I had a lot of near-death experiences during that 15-year relationship. Lost consciousness, got beat for 24 hours, was raped a few times. So I had a really hard life. And when I finally left at 33, I just wanted revenge. I wanted him to pay. I tried to bring him to court. His brother became a lawyer, so he only got detox. He never spent more than 48 hours in a jail cell, and not even in a prison, just in a cell. Which made me even angrier, because in my head, he didn't pay enough for what he had put me through. And then I met someone that I used to go to school with. We got married. And in 2016, I got cancer because of the anger issues that I had, the negativity, the pain. And a lot of people think that cancer is due to DNA. I can confirm that nobody in my family ever had cancer. I was the first of my family to ever get cancer. So we confirmed that that wasn't because of the DNA. It was really because of my hatred, my anger, my want for revenge for the father of my children. And then I had a major operation, 17 hours. I had almost died on the operating table. It was a 50-50 chance of me surviving. They removed 3/4 of 3 vertebrae, 1 inch by 4 inches of my pelvis, the S1 sacrum, the lumbar muscle on the right side, and 2 muscles from the shoulder to the pelvis. So I'm put back together with 2 rods and 7 screws. My anger issues did not end there. The doctor told me that it was because of a massive hit in a specific area is why the tissue started to accumulate in one space, and my body was protecting itself. So it created a mass. And then cancer ended up entering that mass and just evolved from there. It started with like a little mass, and by the time they took it out, it was 15x5. And they had to remove 2 inches more just because of the cancer strain, make sure that they didn't hit anything and it didn't go all over my body. Then when I started my radiation treatment, it ended up attacking my lungs. So I had to have chemo after that. So I had 4 sessions of chemo, lost all my hair, almost had a heart attack, almost went blind during the first chemo treatment because they didn't know how much to give me as a chemo treatment. And they just said, we're going to go with the max and hope for the best. I'm just like, thank you. I almost died for that one. Appreciate it. I made them cut everything in half. And I told them I would have three more sessions. And if it didn't work, just too bad. Ended up after the fourth session, everything was gone. So that worked out really well in my favor. 2019, I started getting masses again because my hatred had not gone, because the doc, what the doctor said just made me even angrier. And then that was the day that I changed my perception of my life. I was just like, I wanted to die so many times. And I was really in a dark space in June 2019 when I heard that again. I was just like, I just can't live like this anymore. So I went to go to a naturopath who works with the nervous system, and he put all my nerves back into their place. And before I entered the clinic, I was hanging on the walls to walk again because the pain was really so bad. And then when I got out of the session, I was limping. So he worked a miracle just in one session. And then three sessions later, I'm able to walk again. The nodules that they saw in my body had disappeared. I started my healing journey. I started meditating. I started eating better. I started I started paying attention to my thoughts, basically, and removing any negative thought that would come into my head as much as possible. And then in 2020, my boss was really yelling at me, like really, really bad, for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And that had happened a few times during my 10-year working with them in that company. And I just decided it was enough. So I quit my job. I asked for a divorce and I left the country. I'm just like, I just can't. So my ex-husband, now ex-husband, has two children. I have two children. So together I have four children. And I just told them all that I love them. They're all in their 20s. So 27, 26, 22, and 20. And I said, I love you all, but I need to go. So when I left, my youngest was turning 19, and I just said, I really love you, but I got to go. And she understood, and the three boys understood as well. So I just left and worked a lot of my healing journey since then. That's pretty much my backstory.
Wow. Tracy, you share that, you know, with really, I know it's deeply emotional for you, but you share that with really not a lot of emotion. And I'm pondering if that's kind of how you can get through that is to kind of just share it, kind of just stating the facts, so to speak. And I get that, because when things are that deeply emotional, you know, that's really tough. One of the things I've been talking about with one of my girlfriends is we're both writing, and I told her, I said, you know what, if you go back to write, and Nancy might be able to speak to this too, when you go back to write, sometimes it's so painful to write about some of those things, even though it's a very healing process to write about them, they're so painful because you have to almost relive them again to actually get them out on paper to write them. So kudos to you. You've come a long way. And again, I just want to say, I'm sorry for everything you've gone through.
It's okay.
And I'm so glad that you're healthy. You look amazing. I follow you on Clubhouse and Instagram, and I just think you're amazing. So what made you decide to pursue that particular person or type of solution? What prompted you to pursue that when you finally started getting healthy? How did you make that decision that was the option that you wanted to go with?
You mean the naturopath?
Yes.
That was suggested by, oddly enough, the person that was yelling at me when I quit my job. He noticed that it helped him for one of his injuries that he had in his arm. And he recommended it because I had tried everything, in my opinion, was everything. But the naturopath really helped me release the stuck energy that I had in my body. That was really what was my problem, because all my nerves, since I've been a baby, my nervous system has been like, I've been in like a crouch position. So I always try to protect myself body wise. So I was like this my whole life. So my body ended up, my nerves ended up staying like that. And I grew like that. So I didn't know any other position than having my shoulders inwards and just like always crouched, like my back was always arched. And even today, I always have to remind myself to just put my back straight, because it's like, it's been like that for over 40 years. So I just have to remind myself that, you know, I'm okay. And I'm good. And when, as soon as he unblocked all my nervous system, it really cleared my brain. Like it was able to release all that stuck energy that I had. And he told me that a lot of emotions were going to come up and that I would have to learn to deal with them and find a way to get rid of them. So I did, like in Harry Potter. I love referencing this because people look at me like as if I'm crazy, but it's so true. So I think it's Dumbledore, the wizard in Harry Potter, where he takes his magic wand and he removes his memory and he puts it in a bowl. I just visualized myself releasing it to the universe and thanking it for taking it for me. That's all I kept saying is thank you. I'm releasing this. I don't need it anymore. I don't want it in my body anymore. And as soon as I started doing that, I felt like a feather, like I had no more nightmares. And I have been having nightmares for as long as I could remember, as from my childhood nightmares, from my adult nightmares, they all just started going away. So I really appreciated that avenue and highly recommend it to anybody who has stuck energy, just to go see a naturopath, but not just that works with food. They have to work with the nervous system as well to be able to unblock it.
And Teresa, so go ahead, Rita.
I would love to know, first of all, thank you for being here and thank you for sharing your story. I'm just curious, what type of therapy or energy work did he do with you in order to help you release that?
He just moved my nervous system. I took care of the rest.
With manipulation, like
chiropractic? Yeah, manipulation. He would literally push my nerves back into their original state. And he did it in four different sessions. So he did it little by little, the ones that would be the easiest to work with. And then he went down my body and he did a little bit here, a little bit in my stomach, a little bit in my back, a little bit in my legs, and then in the back of my head. So it really helped in the four sessions to release that energy that was there.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really beautiful experience. And I love that I saw Harry Potter to be even able to think of that. It just like came automatically. And it's like the universe said, here's an idea. I'm going with that one.
So for our listeners, if they're resonating with what you're saying and they're thinking, you know, maybe I can try that, how do they find a practitioner that does that sort of energy work? How do they find someone like that?
Well, they normally just have to go on, I believe there's a website that deals with naturopaths in general, and they just have to ask the naturopath that they work with the nervous system as well, and not just the food aspect of it, because it's not every naturopath that works with the nervous system. He's just, because he's a specialist in that as well. Like he made a 360 to make sure that when he dealt with a client, he was able to do it all.
I do have a question. If you could name just one aha moment, your biggest aha moment that you were on the right path, what was that aha moment for you?
I'm going to have to say probably the last session that I had with him, and I had a vision. It's like I had a deja vu, like I seen myself there with him and releasing a lot of energy and actually standing straight for the first time in my life. And he said, be careful, you're going to feel like you're falling backwards. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, you're going to see. And then when I stood up, I literally thought I was going backwards. And then I just felt this rush of energy and this rush of clarity. And when I felt that clarity and the releasing of a lot of sadness is when I knew that I was going to be okay. And I just had to continue healing the rest of the trauma that I had personally with different modalities.
And so am I to understand then that you got into, once you started practicing the energy work yourself, then you got into helping other folks as well?
I met Dr. Joe Dispenza as well on my journey, how he meditates, how he teaches people how to heal their body through meditation, which also helped a lot, because even though I still had discomfort, it wasn't going away. So I went with him, and he teaches us how to heal others. And then I went through Reiki as well. So the Reiki and the Dr. Joe helped me be able to do it for others as well. I've helped people with their shoulders. I help people with their hips. I've helped people with their inner pain that they had, that I just did a session with them and they felt a lot better afterwards. So, yeah.
So for the listeners that doesn't know what Reiki is, for example, or even energy work, can you give a brief description so that they know exactly what it is that we're talking about?
I literally channel energy, and a lot of people who are in the space technically will understand what I'm saying, but other people think I'm weird. But I literally channel energy from source. So I go into a meditative state and I take in all energy, and I visualize myself like a crystal clear funnel that's coming in from the sky, that's going through my body, and I'm releasing it through my hands. So my hands are like the portal mechanism, I guess you could call it. And it's the channeling of the energy. So whatever energy that I have through me, I give it to the other person, and I'm sending love and healing energy all the time. And even that are people that are just around me, they feel that energy, even though I'm not doing anything, but it's just who I am now. And I know that my energy is like, I have like this big bubble around me. So when people enter my sphere, I guess you could say, they feel that energy. So I do that a lot, and I do meditations as well every Wednesdays as well. So yeah, it's just a channeling of energy and sending it out to the person that needs the healing at the time.
I would love to ask you, Teresa, how did you find your strength? You know, when you were in the worst of the worst situations of your life and just feeling like there was no way out, how do you find the courage or the strength just to keep moving forward, to continue to be a mom and can take care of your kids and take care of yourself? And, you know, how do you deal with that?
I had some dark moments, I ain't gonna lie. There were days in my 15-year relationship that I was thinking about ending it. I even fell asleep in the bathtub and didn't even realize I was drowning until my mother-in-law came and got me and woke me up, and then I got out of the water. But it really was a knowing, oddly enough, that I wasn't meant to die. Like, I wasn't meant to not continue. And I had the strength of like 20 people inside of this little body that I had, that was 98 pounds at the time. I was just like, there's no way that I'm not making it through this. There's no way that I'm going to not be there for my children. And they were my lifeline. I saw their cute little face every morning, and they would smile at me and say that it's okay. Like, they knew that what I was going through. They didn't see the brutality most of the time, but there were episodes where they did see it, and they just looked at me and said that it's okay. Like, we're good and we're going to be okay. And then that also helped me. Like, my son at 10 years old, he looked at me and said, okay, mom, you've done enough. We can go now. I'm like, oh shit. Oh, sorry. I'm just like, oh my God. Like, for my 10-year-old to tell me that, I should have left a long time ago.
When you said you left your children, the youngest was 19, it was time to go and work on your own healing process. Just curious, where did you go and what did you do? What did you find, a therapist, a coach, or like, how did your healing process begin? Who did you reach out to?
I went to Costa Rica because I needed warmth. I don't like this cold anymore. This cold in Montreal is just like, it's piercing. It's just, I just can't anymore. So I wanted to go somewhere where it was really hot, and I've always wanted to be, I always wanted to go to Costa Rica. So that's where I went. And there was a school called TEFL where it's teaching English to native speakers. So I wanted to try that, and it would give me a job when I was done. So I was just like, you know, it'll give me a reason to go. End up realizing I don't like teaching. But I ended up finding one coach. I had one coach through my whole journey. And she was someone who worked with the subconscious. Her name is Jane Bryson. And she has this way of going into your subconscious and removing the pain that's attached to the memory. So I had 12 sessions with her, actually a little bit more, probably like 14 sessions with her. And she was able to release a lot of the pain that I had attached to the memory. So I would talk about the memory, I'd go into the memory, and then she would ask the subconscious to just remove the pain that's attached to that memory, which was really cool. So it was a different type of coaching that I've seen. I did do for like a year, a therapist. And I was like, she's just asking me and I'm just like, I'm working by myself. I might as well do it by myself. Like I'm paying you to ask me a question that I can do all on my own. I'm just like, this is ridiculous. So I didn't do that anymore. And then I found Jane. And then after that, I just meditation as well. Meditation helped a lot to answer some questions that I had for myself.
How long was that journey for you in Costa Rica?
6 months. And then I went to Colombia for 4 months. And then I went to Mexico for a month, went back to Costa Rica, went back to Mexico. And then I went to a Joe Dispenza retreat in Mexico because I wanted to feel that energy that's in that room. There were 1700 people in there. It was mind blowing. Mm. But I did ayahuasca as well. I did Bufo. I did Reiki. So things that really helped me on my healing journey was those different modalities.
And then where did that lead you now? So tell us what you do. So you obviously you work with clients in a similar way that you worked with someone else, or what? How does that work?
So we can do a half an hour to an hour sessions. And I just do a healing with you. You could be on the computer. Like it doesn't matter. Even if we're not beside each other, you will still feel the energy. I've had people attest to that. So I wanted to make sure that was a thing before I started. So I do, it all depends on the person and how much they're able to handle in that moment, because you need to be able to receive. And sometimes that's hard for people because they're so used to giving that the receiving part is a struggle. Like even for me, receiving was a struggle. I'm working on it. I'm not, still not perfect at it yet, but I love giving. So yeah, so I do half an hour, 2 hour sessions of healing. And I'm going to be going to Guatemala to learn to incorporate the crystals into my healing journey as well, my healing process.
When you look at the industry, overall, you know, just at large, what's one thing that makes you kind of mad about the industry?
That's a good question. A lot of people do it for the money. And I have to say that I was like that at the beginning. They don't do it for the person. I know sometimes it doesn't matter what the person is trying to heal from, but for me, I like to get to know my clients. I like to understand where they're coming from. And I love to give other advice than just the healing part of it. Like I like to talk to the person, have an interaction, because I'm at a space now where I don't just do the healing. Like I do healings, but I also have, I'm not going to say like visions, but I do have feeling. It's like a telepathy where I can communicate. Yeah, I can communicate with your body without knowing much about you. But after I feel what I need to know, I'll ask you questions to make sure that I'm on the right page. And then I'll tell you exactly what I felt in that moment. Because also some people they get scared when I say things and they're like, how in the world did you know that? How do you know that? I'm like, I just know. It's like a knowing. So I think the industry needs to have more of that compassion towards their clients and not just a money value, which is even for me at the beginning, I was there. Like, and I'm saying that because that's who I was at the beginning, because I needed that money, you know, everybody needs money, but I realized that I was doing it from a place of lack instead of a place of love.
So I would love to hear about your program that you have, Teresa, on your website. You have like a meditation program and all kinds of good stuff going on there. What tell us about what your offer, what you have, your offers are.
Well, my, like I said, I'm going to be, and I have to fix the websites. Good thing you reminded me, but I have to put the programs for the meditations, the 30-hour healing meditation and the hour healing meditations. So I'm going to be working on like for the hour, half an hour meditation is normally $44. And the hour meditation is, I like to work around 88, like just to balance it out. Cause it doesn't have to be that expensive for someone to feel the healing. And I'm doing it from a place of love. So it's not to make money. It's really for them to heal. And it's just for the energy exchange as well. Because money is energy and everything works around that. So $44 and 44 is my number. So I like sticking to that number. So like, I want to help 1,044 women, no, 44,000 women in the next 4 years. Like that's my goal. Like, so I like staying in those numbers and meditations. That's, I also do that on Clubhouse every Wednesday from 7:30 to 8:30, sometimes from 7:30 to 8, all depending how many people are there. I normally do an hour, half an hour to 45 minutes of a meditation. People like going there because they like me to put them to sleep. So yeah, so I like doing that. So the webpage is just like, if you need to connect with me, you can go there and I'll answer you as soon as I get your message.
So when I think about your industry at large, what is it that breaks your heart about the industry?
The amount of pain people are going through.
I'm sorry, say it again.
The amount of pain that people are living through without the healing, without knowing how to heal or without being ready to heal. And again, speaking from experience, I waited 11 years before I started my healing journey. I had to get cancer. And almost twice, like before I started my healing journey. So it's important that people start realizing that their physical issues, whether it be diabetes, whether it be high cholesterol, whether it be overweight, whether it being knee issues, like there's having trouble breathing, like everything that is going on with your body is just a sign that your body is telling you that there's something that you need to heal. There's something in your body that is struggling. There's a blocked energy and your body needs to heal. So what I love to do is to start releasing that energy that's stuck. So that's my goal. I close my eyes and I visualize myself like taking your body lying in front of me. And then I put my hands over it and I know exactly where I need to go during the session. And my hands just go exactly where they need to go to start the healing process, because the root center is basically where a lot of stuck energy is, because it's all at the root. You know, when you were younger, what happened when you were younger? What did somebody tell you? What did you live through? What pains did you see? What, like, there's so many things that are in that root center that we don't even realize is stuck, which creates a lot of the other symptoms through the rest of our body. So we have to go from the base and then work our way up. And a lot of times when I do healings, 99%, I start with the root energy center because that's where everything starts.
Yeah, this is amazing stuff. Yes, Rita, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's where the emotional centers are too, yeah. And those lower energy centers, like from below your belly button down. I just wanted to kind of reiterate the power of, you know, energy healing work, because I love it as well, Teresa. I'm also an energy healer. And you know, we really do have to focus on mind, body, and spirit in order to be mm-hmm. truly healthy, not just our physical body. I don't know if you know, Kathy and I have talked about, because I'm a PA conventional trained, and all we focus on is the physical body, really. But you have to have the emotional and the spiritual healing as well in order to heal, you know, overall. And it's that dis-ease within mm-hmm. the emotional centers that causes diseases in the body, because these unhealed traumas and wounds really do fester in a way and manifest themselves into a physical form. Sometimes it's a tumor, sometimes it's a chronic pain. Sometimes it's a chronic anxiety. You know, there's so many different ways that it can manifest itself. I love the Louise Hay books and Barbara Brennan books that, you know, really talk about that as well. But a personal friend of mine, like a childhood friend, I kind of reconnected with after many years, she confided in me that she had suffered some very, very serious childhood abuse as well for many years, and then struggled in her entire adult life with just anger and just having difficulty just functioning in the world and holding down a job. An extremely talented artist too. And she had been to psychiatrist after psychiatrist after psychiatrist through the years and therapists. And now it's not like she wasn't trying to heal. She really was. She kept reaching out to so many practitioners for help and therapists. And she just was never making progress, but just feeling sick and side effects of medications. And when we kind of reconnected and talked and, she shared about what was going on. I said, would you like me to do this energy healing for you? And she said, yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, but just saying the power of that stuck energy and being able to release it. She's told me that in the one energy healing session that we did, she felt like she made more progress with her mental health than she did her entire life of seeing psychiatrists and therapists. And it's just so profound. And I just love that the energy work. And I'm really glad that you're doing it as well and helping the people that you do. So thank you.
Thank you. It's important.
Mm-hmm. So my question, first to Teresa and then to Rita, is how does one learn to actually, facilitate or moderate this energy work?
Well, when I did ayahuasca, one of my intentions was to find my purpose. And it said that I needed to work with energy, my energy. And I've always known that I had like something because my hands have always vibrated. And I always wondered why, like, why did I always have this like pulsation in my hands all the time? And it's because that's where my energy is. Like all my energy comes out and it's mostly comes out through the limbs. Right. So it comes. So where I was just always had a lot of energy there. And then I met my Reiki teacher in Mexico, just by happenstance. Like I just went to a Temescal that he was doing, and a Temescal, for those who don't know, it's just like a sauna box where you go in and you set an intention before you go in. He does an egg cleaning on you before, then you do a prayer, and then you go in and you have different songs and different doors. There's four doors, and it's the child, the earth, the fire, and the sky, the earth, wind. Oh, earth, wind. Sorry, I'm trying to remember. There's the child, the earth, the wind, and the fire. Okay, so you have those different doors, and then you go through, and it keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and you stay there as long as you can because you're sweating out the crap that no longer serves you. Like you're literally sweating it out. You're living those emotions, and you're staying there as long as you can. So anyway, so he ended up being a Reiki practitioner, and I didn't know, but he saw me helping my friend who was struggling during the Temescal that we were doing. And I was like trying to clear the energy that I was around her. But that was just from me. Like, it was like an automatic, I didn't know what I was doing, even though I knew what I was doing. So I was just like moving the energy that was around her. And then he said, I think you should like look into Reiki. And I'm like, I don't know. And then he did a Reiki session on me. I'm like, yes, that is definitely what I need to be doing. And then now I have my certificates, my two levels, I'm working on my third. But yeah, I love the, so that's how I got into the healing. And then I met someone and she said that she sees me with crystals. So I'm like, that's weird, because I just bought a whole bunch of crystals and I was trying to figure out how I could incorporate it with my healing. And that's what I'm going to be doing in Guatemala. So
interesting. Rita, how about you? How did you move into this as a practice?
I think, like Teresa, there's so many different modalities and healing techniques and different types of training programs. For me, I was suffering with chronic pain in my 20s. And I had done, like, again, I was a PA, I was working as a PA. I had done everything conventional medicine had to offer to help with my chronic pain, and nothing was getting better. And I was really debilitated. So I started reaching out and looking for integrative therapies and, you know, things outside the conventional medical model to see what else I could do. And I just happened to find there was a wellness center where I was living, and there is going to be an energy healing demonstration, and which I was not familiar with at all. But I just went and I said, let me check this out. And it was a husband and wife team, and they had an energy healing school, and they did a demonstration. They asked a volunteer to come up and said, we'll show you how this works. So someone volunteered. She kind of laid down on the massage table, you know, face up, fully clothed, and she barely touched her, but she just moved around her body, like Teresa had mentioned, like with hands like above the body. And she did this energy healing session. And as she did it, she talked about what information she was receiving or seeing in this woman's energy field. And she had permission, said, just know this, obviously this is for a demonstration purpose. And normally it's a very private and intimate session, you know, one-on-one, but for demonstration purposes, are you okay with everyone hearing what I have to say and what, you know, what we discover together? So she said, yes. And she basically was having this chronic pain in her leg. And she just basically started telling the story of the client did not speak at all. She was just laying there, but the healer, you know, started to tell what she was seeing in this woman's body, where the blockage was, what was the emotion that was around the blockage and why it was happening, and helped to release it. And I was just like floored. I was like, this is so powerful and amazing. And I said, I want to learn how to do this for other people. But I said, well, before I do that and start their school, which is a 3-year training program, I need to try it for myself first to see if it worked. And that particular pain that I was dealing with at the time had been resolved after 2 healing sessions. That I was dealing with deep betrayal issues. And that energy was released when it brings you there. That what the emotion is that's attached to the pain, it brings it to your level of consciousness, then you can process it and release it. So that was so powerful for me. And so my teachers were, the woman was a graduate of the Barbara Brennan School of Energy Healing, and her husband was a North American shaman. So together they created their own school with the best of what they each learned in their own programs and put it together. So we did all of like the Barbara Brennan energy healing work, but then he brought in the shamanic work. So we did shamanic journeying and soul retrieval and sweat lodges and, well, you know, some things like Teresa was mentioning as well. It was just amazing. So I think people find different modalities based on, you know, what is brought to them in their lives. But I think the thing that makes the best energy healers are the people who do the most deep work on themselves. Because you really can't go deep with somebody into those difficult places to help them heal from their own, unless you've done the work yourself. Because if you have not done the work, and you see something in them that's deep and just as painful as what you've been through, but you haven't processed your own, you're not going to be able to go there with them, because you're going to resist it, because it's going to be too difficult for you to go there. So that's what I think makes a really good healer. That's what I wanted to say.
This is just so amazing to me. Mm-hmm. And again, I've always heard about the energy healing, but I've never really had this in-depth conversation before. So this is very interesting. And I know a lot of our listeners that listen to this podcast later on are going to be just as interested as I am in learning more about this. Teresa, I want to go back to you. What makes your message so important today of all times? This time that we're in now, what makes your message so important?
I think it's because it needs to be heard, especially during this pandemic. There's a lot of women who are stuck with their abusers 24/7, like even more than a regular. And some people became abusers and weren't even at the beginning until this pandemic. And they, it's like their true nature didn't come out till now. And a lot of people, especially even in Montreal, and I talk about Montreal, it's because it's where I live and it's what I've seen and heard about. In the first month of the pandemic, like there's six women who were murdered because their boyfriends and couldn't be with them 24/7 and didn't know how to cope and just beat them to death. Some people got shot. Some women got shot. Some men killed the women and the children and then themselves. So it needs to be talked about. Not enough people talk about it. And it's a sad place. It's when, and there are so many women that I've talked to, and I don't know many women who haven't lived one form of abuse or another. Everybody thinks, well, a lot of women think that it's just physical abuse, but there's emotional, financial, sexual, like there's so many, there's six types, and people just think that it's just a physical, but it's not just the physical. And the mental, emotional is the worst because it really goes deep down into your soul. Like it really, bones heal. Like I've had many broken bones and they've all healed. Oof. And I don't feel those pains anymore. But the emotional scar that I had was, I just am releasing most of them now. Like that's what I did through that 1 year and a half journey that I've been through. Like now I'm back home, but for that year and a half, I was just learning how to heal that pain that I had deep down in my soul. So it's so important that we talk about it so that people, the women, are not afraid and they don't feel ashamed to be heard. We have nothing to be ashamed of. People are not ashamed when they're talking about, I don't know, I'm trying to give an example, but like they're hurt. They have a, I don't know, they have a, why is not coming to me, but like, this is something that's not talked about enough.
Yeah.
Physical abuse is not talked about enough. Energy work is not talked about enough. Like the people are starting to open up to it, but it's so important to mm-hmm. to deal with those personal deep down darkness that we have, because the more that we do that, the better we'll be able to help our sister, our brother, our father, our mother, like friends. Like now I've come home and now I'm helping people around me that if I would have talked to them about this a year and a half ago, they wouldn't have been open about it, but they've seen my journey. They've seen everything that I've done. They've seen the old me and the new me. The old me was 175 pounds and now I'm 130. Like, and I've been through, and I even look younger than I do a year and a half ago, which people, even me, I keep saying I look younger and younger every day. I'm telling you, girls, this helps. But
I love it. If somebody asked you and you had to give an answer, let's say we're at a networking event or whatever, and somebody asks you, what is the overarching problem that you're trying to solve? What would be the overarching problem that you're trying to solve?
Helping women find themselves, their true nature, the love for themselves, their inner soul connection. Yeah, it's the inner soul connection that I want each woman to be able to find for themselves, because it's so important. We do not love ourselves as women. We've always been told, especially like when I was younger, I was told to shut up and sit pretty. That was my life. And that's all I was allowed to do. I wasn't allowed to speak my truth because everybody told me I was big character. I was I love to speak my mind because it's who I was, but I wasn't never allowed to do it. So I want the people, the women and some men, like who are not afraid to find their inner voice.
I'm curious too, Teresa, did you happen to do any of like the conventional psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, in addition to the healing work that you did, or was it more instead of?
It was more instead of. I did when I left the father of my kids, I did do it for almost a year, but I noticed that it wasn't getting me anywhere. I was turning around in circles. I felt like I was on a treadmill going nowhere. I'm telling somebody my problems, but it's always the same problem that keeps coming up because she's not helping me remove those problems. She's just asking me questions And it's still up to me to do the work. So what's the point? Like, why am I going to go? And I just gave up. And I said, there's other ways. There has to be other ways. And then I found the meditation, and then I found ayahuasca. And a lot of people don't like ayahuasca or don't even know about ayahuasca. But for me, I don't like it because it makes me nauseous, but that's the whole point. It's to cleanse your body of what's stuck in your body. So it's like a detox. And for me, it was finding my purpose. So it really helped me a lot. And I only recommend different modalities. I don't recommend the therapist. Like I don't, because I don't find it does the work that it needs to do.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that there are some amazing therapists out there, and I had a really good one, but I think she was good because she was also an energy worker. and so she had that combination. But I've found so many people who are the same thing, that hamster wheel of just like, I mean, you could be some people in talk therapy for 10 years and not make the progress that you want to see. And I encourage people, anybody who's listening, who's trying to get help, who's going to therapy or going to a psychiatrist, if you are not getting better and seeing your life transform, then you need to find another practitioner. And I will say too, I mean, Teresa, maybe you could speak to this too. I've never done ayahuasca. And for people who don't know, maybe you can explain a little bit more about it. But I feel like when it comes to anybody working on somebody's energy field, it's very personal and it's very, what do I want to say? Invasive. So you really have to have somebody that's trustworthy. And you hear bad stories of people going to Peru or whatever, and I'm going to do ayahuasca. And then, you know, being taken advantage of when they're under the influence of these, you know, psychotropics or whatever the right word for that is. So you just got to make sure that the people that you do work with are very trustworthy, reputable, that you have good references. Don't just go to anybody. Can you speak to that a little bit, Teresa?
Yes, I highly recommend looking at your shaman. He has to have a minimum of 20 years as an apprentice. Which I didn't even know about. I found that out through the two different shamans that I was going to go to. And the one that I ended up going to was a 20-year apprentice and a 20-year shaman himself. So he had 40 plus years experience with being a shaman. And you have to be careful. And it was funny because he was the only one who told me to only do two sessions right after another. Don't do three, don't do four, don't do five. He says, I would never do that with anybody. I don't recommend it. So if anybody's telling you to do more than, I'm sorry, my ex-husband's dog's outside. I don't recommend to do more than two sessions just because of my shaman, the way he explained it, it's not good. And it defeats the purpose. And because some people can really get stuck because it's a plant medicine. So it's an LSD. So it can be very invasive. So if you're not ready for that, and if you're not open for it, it could be dangerous. Like some people can lose their mind. Like, and many people have, they get stuck in their brain because of that. And if the shaman's not good and he can't get them out of that state, they get stuck there and they're never coming back. And even in my second session, I saw a door. And I even looked at the door and I'm like, mm-mm. I'm like, I'm not going through that door. Cause if I go through that door, I ain't coming back sane. Like, I know that there's something intense in back of that door. I appreciate you, but I'm not going in that door. And I didn't go. And I just came out of my state right away. I was lucky that I was able to control my sessions. Like, for whatever reason, I was powerful enough to be able, but there was a guy with me who was stuck in his state for over 10 hours. The shaman finally got him out. After the eighth hour, he started giving him treatments so that he could gradually come out of it. But it took him two more hours to actually be okay. But he was not okay to go home, but he was still okay mentally. So you have to be really careful who you choose, where you go. You have to check the website, talk to them, ask questions. Do not go in blind. If you don't speak the language, get someone who speaks the language. Do not do any LSD without knowing who you're doing it with. I do not recommend that. It's very dangerous. You're on mute, sweetie.
Sorry. So Teresa, what are your steps that you take folks through to solve the problem? What do you actually do personally in your practice?
I always work with the energy. I talk with the client, want to know what they're focusing on, but sometimes I can just have a conversation with people now. And this is just recently, it's over the past few months that I've been able to do like a telepathic connection with them. So I know what's going on and what they need to work on. And sometimes I say something and it's not even something that they had thought about originally. But then when I say something, they're like, oh, right, that makes sense. And okay, we're going to work on that too. So I've been able, I'm at a place now where I can do that, but it's all about releasing the stuck energy. I work on the seven centers to make sure that they're clear. I teach people how to align those centers and to stay in those centers as much as possible. And I sometimes, if the eighth one needs clearing, because we all know, maybe not all of us know, but we have an eighth one that just like hovers over our head. That's another center. There's actually, I know about 12 centers, but I haven't dealt with the 9, 10, and 11. I think that even goes up to 12 centers. But it's something that needs to be cleared. And I love working on those energy and just helping healing whatever pain point they may have.
How has your faith actually helped your journey?
That's funny you say that. I was never a faith person, I ain't gonna lie. Did not believe in the G-O-D word. I kept saying that did not exist, because if it did, I wouldn't have lived the life that I did. Then I came to realize that we all make contracts before we come to earth, and it has nothing to do with him or the spirituality of it. It's our soul contract that wants to evolve. And that's why we go on the journeys that we do. We don't necessarily ask for that specific thing that happened in our life, but they give it to us in a way so that we understand that this is something that we're here to work on. And it's a lesson that we need to learn. So I don't consider it, because I'm such a spirit. I work with the universe. I work with the energy. I don't work with the, let's say, God itself. I know that Archangel, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, Sobek, like I have these angels, these guys that I work with that I called in, and I call them my team. So these angels that are with me all the time. So that's who I believe in. Do I necessarily think there's a God? I guess, but I also know that we're all one person. Like, we all are connected energetically, no matter if you're in the States, in Canada, in the UK, in China, in Australia, we're all connected energetically. And I've learned that we're all each other in another dimension. Some people think I'm weird when I say that, but it's what I'm learning. So it's what I believe in. And yeah, so I hope that answered your question.
Yes, actually it has. What are you working on currently, Teresa?
Right now I'm working on connecting with more people who would like to work with their healing their body, and I'm working on trying to attract them and trying to get my message out there. So if you know somebody who wants to work with their energy, you can send them my way or send them to Rita. As long as somebody helps them, that's all I care about. That's the most important thing. It's just, yeah, working on that.
I saw on your Facebook page, Teresa, in your website, you've got links and connections about the passive income work that you're doing. Can you talk about that? What you're doing a little bit more? I don't know if it's like crypto or NFT stuff, mm-hmm. But I would love to hear about that as well.
Okay, I can talk about that. Like I told Kathy, that's not something I was going to bring up.
Well, we don't have to if you don't want to. I was just
curious. I don't mind. Mm-hmm. It's just something, because it wasn't part of the conversation originally. So that's why I didn't want to bring it up, because it's not my platform to do that in. So the passive income is just different income streams that I'm working with my team. So we're a seven I think we're 10 people now. So we're leadership who find different passive income. So you put your money in an investment that makes money. So when that interest comes into fruition, so you can take it out and then we'll put it in another one. Our goal is that, so we're called MI5. So it's millionaires in 5 years. That's our goal, is to make as many millionaires as we can within the next 5 years. It's doable within two, but we're saying five. Because of the income streams that we are connecting with, we're making sure that all our boxes are checked off to make sure that you can't lose your money. Like, that's our goal. We just did an investment and it went south. It got hacked, and we want to make sure that now the next ones we go into, that is not a possibility. So we're making sure that they're safe. There's another one that I'm working with, like, just to give you an example of different ones. So one of them that we're working with is a trader. He trades gold. He scalps gold in the market. And then we put in an amount. We make 22.5% each month off of that amount. So with time, we just make more and more and more money, and we just leave it there. I'm working with another platform. You can put in a minimum of $400 US, and then it works. It gives you 3% daily. So these are our investments that we're working on, to have a minimum of 3% daily, so that people can have different days where they receive certain incomes, so that within 30 days of every month of every year, you have a different income that comes into your wallet, so you don't have to think about money ever again. Like, these are just things that we're working at. We're at three different platforms right now, and we're going to have a meeting after this, and there's going to be another one we're going to be looking into. And then tomorrow, I think we have like three different ones this week. So it's just so that we can help the person who is working a 9-to-5 no longer work a 9-to-5 if they do not want to. If you loved your job, go do your job. That's, if you love what you're doing, that's fine. We're not trying to make there no being no more 9-to-5s. But if you don't want to do it, you want to do like me and you want to travel the world, that's what I love doing. Like, I've already been to Costa Rica, Colombia, Mexico. Now I'm off to Guatemala. I'm going to be going to Panama. I'm going to Spain. So there's different things that I love to do. And I'm also doing my foundation for women who have lived through domestic violence. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about that as well after, but that is something that is near and dear to my heart. So my passive income is going to make it so I can do what I want to do for my foundation and live at the same time. So that's the whole goal of the passive income.
Teresa, I can really appreciate that. I am also a passive income coach and a health and wealth educator. And so I get it. I get it. I have about 8 different streams of passive income that come in every month. And I too, I have an initiative where we are giving away scholarships for education. And so I get it. I get it. It's great conversation, and we'll have to have you back and maybe go a little deeper into the passive income part.
Sure. That would be fine.
I love that. So how can our listeners actually contact you? How can they connect with you? What is the best way to reach you?
Instagram, Facebook, or my website.
Just under your name, correct?
Yeah. I don't do any other names, because if I have different names on different platforms, people are going to say, who the hell are you? So my website is my name, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all of those, even TikTok, TikTok is my name as well. So yeah.
I get it. So Teresa, for those on the podcast, they can't see us. Here on our platform this evening, we can see each other, but once we upload it to the podcast, they can't see us. They can just hear us. So spell your name for us with the best way that you want them to connect, so that folks can make a note of it. And then I too, when I upload, I will put it into the comment section as well.
Okay. So my name is Teresa Froggitt. It's TheresaFroggatt. So that's Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, my website, teresafroggitt.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Any questions from Rita or Nancy before we go?
You, Nancy, anything? No?
Yeah, I had a question. You were talking about releasing physical pain earlier. Was it any different with the emotional pain? Was there any different modalities that worked better for the emotional pain?
I don't think so, because for me, pain is pain and energy is energy. It just, how do you release them is sometimes a little bit different. The emotional pain is deeper into the body than I think the physical pain for me, because the physical pain is more surface. When you go into the emotion, it literally goes through your whole body, goes through your nervous system, your muscles, the skin tissue, like it's through your body. And I found, for someone who has anxiety, I always recommend grounding themselves, going outside, walking on grass, and seeing yourself emptying your anxiety like an upside down bottle. So just visualize your body being emptied into the ground, thanking Mother Earth for taking it for you, and just releasing that anxiety, and just see yourself just removing that. And I've done that a lot. Especially in Costa Rica. I used to go for hikes, and that's all I did was just, I would go into the woods, walk barefoot, and just visualize myself emptying like a water bottle into the ground, all my anxiety. And I would just release it. And I would just thank Mother Earth for taking it for me. Really appreciate you. And I would just keep doing that once a week, sometimes twice a week, if my anxiety got really, really high. And eventually it dissipated. So just finding different tricks of releasing the energy. Send yourself love to some place that really, really hurts, like a lot. Just send yourself a lot of love in that area, and you'll see eventually it'll start going away.
I love that idea. That's a great technique. And the self-healing techniques are fantastic, you know, so you can be empowered to be able mm-hmm. to do things for yourself. That's awesome. I enjoyed this conversation, Teresa. I really appreciate Same. You coming on and spending this evening with us.
Same. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, everyone. We're glad that you're here. And again, tune in every fourth Monday at 6 o'clock.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.